Shogger, you can only pick one. You get a second line left winger or a second pair left defense. Which would you take for the Oilers?
Second. What's the price? There's too many questions. I have so many questions right now. Same price for either? And you get roughly the same quality?
Yeah, similar. Yeah, like a guy that will slot into your second pair left defense, or a guy who you can slot in on your second line or first line, whatever, you know,
just
left top
year,
six left winger.
Just for this year has contract.
Oh, you're pissing me off right now.
Well, you a lot of questions.
Just throw this stuff out. It's got, there's details.
Okay,
man.
Both of them have a year left. Both of them are not UFAs. They both have a contract till next season.
Okay, so you get them for two playoffs?
Yes.
Then I'm going the defenseman.
Why? Just because he plays more?
He plays more, and I think he could probably find a winger in free agency and fill that need. I mean, you can find defensemen in free agency too, but yeah, I think that this team, yeah, if they can shore up their top two pairings and their D is actually a real strength and they continue to get good goaltending from Mike Smith, between Ennis, Cahoon,
Turris,
we'll see. You've got enough guys that can audition in that spot, and you can see what you can get done. And that's assuming that Zach Cassian doesn't kind of come back to life at some point and become an option for you to slot in there. I know he's a right winger, but you got enough guys that can potentially do that. Whereas on the left side on D, you got Jones and Russell. And while I like Chris Russell, and I think he was good during their play-in, I think you want him to be your third pairing left side guy.
Oh, totally. I actually think Cassian's last three games have been pretty good. He's been engaged.
They have been, yeah.
He's got some points, and I could see him possibly moving up in the future for sure. So how long do you think he sticks with McDavid and Draisaitl? How many more games? Is it a period tonight? Is it going to be how many more games before he goes back to them running their own lines?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it has to do with what he's seeing from other people. You know, I think that's probably...
Agreed.
It's probably been a little bit frustrating for him. You know, he wants, you know, he needs more from other guys when he's got those two together. You can't just be running around in your own end and chasing pucks and losing momentum for your group. You know, you got to be pushing the pace a little bit. And if they're having a hard time, you know, throwing a second line out there that can. Honestly, what I'd be doing at this point is I would be saying to them or making it clear to them that we're looking for gamers on this second line. So whoever's going is going to get the look. So if you start the game tonight and Turris has a couple of dog shifts to begin with, fire him out of there. Get somebody else in. Somebody else gives you something early in the game, bounce them up there. Like, make these guys understand, anybody has a chance. This is a jump ball for this spot, and we're going with guys that are playing well. I think that's healthy and normal to do. You know, it doesn't have to be locked in stone from the start of the game to the end of the game. They're looking for guys that are ready to show up and be gamers. So let's see who can do it.
Yeah, see, I put forth the idea of Zach Cassian there right now. Left wing on the boom, put him in there. He has speed, he has size, he can create space for the smaller guys he'd be playing with. You know, and I don't think Ennis doesn't either, but Turris doesn't do that, right? And not that they're not NHL players, there's too much of the same on that line.
Totally.
So that's a guy that I would slide in there right away.
Just to interrupt you real quick, would you be concerned about him on the wall in his own end? Because I think that would be the one thing about playing him over on that side on a line that's higher up. He's going to be in tough matchups. He's going to be pressured on the wall. And I think he has a tough enough time always squaring himself away on the proper wing.
Yeah, I could. Yep, that's a really good point. But I'd like to think that the positive would outweigh that negative.
Yeah,
you know
it
what
could.
I mean? Like so you look at the last game. Two of their three goals are scored off the rush. Sick plays, by the way, off the rush. Like, those were just crazy good. But, you know, and then the one was a good pass on what I think was kind of a set play by Barry and Draisaitl. I think that's what it was. They're not getting much outs in there. They're not getting, like, you know, how do you get some time in the offensive zone of cycling? And maybe the Oilers aren't built that way. But you're going to have to manufacture chances and goals off that type of play. And I think with Cassian, what he does specifically that those other three smaller wingers don't do with Nuge and Yamamoto is he's big. And when he skates through an area, there's like a wake behind him of open ice. And that's where those guys can jump in and try to make some plays, right? So and you got to tell him, say, hey, Zach, this is what we want you to do. This is how we want you to play. The hit last game was great. I loved it. But I'm not putting him up there to rough people up or protect anyone. I want him to take up space. Think of what Puljujärvi does on that line. You know, he's disruptive. He creates space and he retrieves pucks for those guys. That's what those top players want. It's the recipe is not that hard to do.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm not suggesting it's easy to play with those guys, but when you have a clear goal out in your mind, Shager, that's where I think that, Cassian, when he's playing well, that's what he has done as a top six player.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you there. I agree with you in your assessment of what the line needs, and I would be surprised if Kyle Turris provided it tonight.
Sure.
I don't view Turris as being the fix that is needed. Maybe he'll prove me wrong tonight, and if he does, good for him. But from what we've seen so far from Kyle Turris this year, this is not, the battle level, the ability to win battles that he does engage in, all those sorts of things. I'm just not sure that he's going to give them what they need. So let's wait and see. We'll see what he does. Another answer there potentially, and none of the answers are ideal, so let's keep that in mind. And if they weren't so thin down the middle, but Kara might be a guy that would be interesting to see on that line because he's a bigger body and he can grind in the corners and he's been playing well and defensively he does a good job. But they're just so thin down the middle, that's hard to do. You got four centers playing on your top two lines.
Yeah, and so I think that what I'd say to that is that, there's a couple guys I would not move. Puljujärvi's for sure one, because he's playing well in that spot. And same with the guy you just met, Jujar. They're doing what you want them to do. Don't move them out of there and complicate their lives, right? Just keep it really simple. They're coloring between the lines, let them color between the lines. Don't ask them to paint something different.
Yep, no, and that's fair. That's fair. And for Kara, he's finally developed some consistency. I think he's come back from the injury and he's been okay. I think you just want to put him in a position to just keep churning ahead, just keep plugging. And we'll see what happens. But they're thin on that left side for sure. There's no question it's a weakness. Is it going to prevent them from getting where they want to go? I don't think as much as being a top four defenseman short could.
Yeah, William Lagesson, better in more of a grind game and a speed game against Toronto. I thought you could see his lack of puck skills and skating was a little bit more apparent, and that's not a knock on him. It's just kind of how it is, and it really illustrates, the disappointment of a season that Caleb Jones has had because his skill set would work better against Toronto than Lagesson's.
Yeah, well, listen, William Lagesson is William Lagesson's a third-pairing defenseman. There's nothing wrong with that. He's a rookie, for goodness sakes. There's nothing wrong with that. He is a third-pairing NHL defenseman who's having to do spot duty on a second pairing with Adam Larson on a pseudo-second pairing because the Oilers are thin on that side, and that's just the way it's gone. He outplayed Caleb Jones. He's earned that spot. But he's a third-pairing D-man on a good team all day long, and there's nothing wrong with that, so... The Oilers are a top four defenseman shy on the left side, and nobody should be surprised by this. Oscar Klefbom didn't come back this year, and they replaced him with a right shot guy. So they were a right shot guy short, before.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the Edmonton Oilers right now. Shager, why do teams continue to dump the puck into Mike Smith? Do they not do their pregame scouting report?
Yeah.
I don't get it. To me, it's clear. It's cross-ice dumps. A never-ending stream of cross-ice dumps. Don't
into
even give him a chance to go and get it.
Yeah, I agree.
Just continually.
Yeah, and was Ed Dempsey your D coach in Kamloops at all?
Oh, yeah. I had Shacker. Oh, yeah.
You had Shacker? So he was our head coach when I played there. I have a special affinity for dump-ins because... Shaq used to be absolutely crazy about dump-ins, and if you did not dump the puck in properly, he would go ballistic. And so I pay attention to these things like you do, Struds, because we come from that, where there's probably nothing more important than how well you dump the puck in when you've got Shaq behind the bench. And so I notice those things, too. And for Smith, yeah, I think what it allows the Oilers to do, it allows them to play further up in the neutral zone just to take away that space, because they're almost daring you to dump it in past, and then you know you're going to get it right back again. It's a huge advantage, and I just think Dave Tippett loves that dynamic when Mike Smith's in net, and that's just why we keep seeing him over and over and over again here. I mean, the Oilers have a clear number one, guys. Like, they do. Well, talk all you want about 1A, 1B. They have a number one goalie. They got a starter, and they got a backup. And that's just the way it is this year. And Smith's puck handling, along with the quality, because not only is the overall quality of his play and the saves that he's making better, his puck handling is way more consistent and less risky than it was before.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. I think that the way he plays it, it's so smart. But I think that, you know, when teams start getting down towards the nitty-gritty and we get into the playoffs, their teams are going to take that away from him. There's no way that coaches will be like, yeah, just dump it in wherever you want. No problem. Just stop it behind the net. Because he's really good at knocking down hard rims, too.
Well, that's the thing. Like, where do you go?
Cross corner.
Well, you go cross corner coming up the trapezoid. You got to float it in.
It's got to die in the corner. Die in the corner, or you go cross corner. And you know what? And it's so much harder on D, because if I'm the Oilers, I want Adam Larson breaking the puck out. I want Willie Langston getting the puck out. I want to put it in there so that Darnell Nurse gets hit, or Barry gets hit, or all these guys that your back is turned to the play and you're getting hit. And that to me is something that, it'll be interesting to watch it go along, because it felt like Saturday that honestly Mike Smith touched the puck more than all the Oilers defense combined.
Yeah.
Like he was constantly touching it. And I mean, I'm not, obviously that's good as a goalie to save it. I'm talking about making plays with it, guys. Like Gregor's laughing at me, but that's what I see. So I think that, like, and I don't want to be coaching against the Leafs, but this to me is such a no-brainer, guys. This being missed by the coaching staffs of opposing teams.
But I watch a lot of it. You're right, though. I've kind of had a count going, mm-hmm. because when Mike Smith wakes one bad play, oh my God, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but he just handled the puck like 50 times.
Yeah, not
very well.
Tons. I haven't tracked it at all, and this is the eye test for me, so I mean, whatever. He is way better this year than he was last year. Better in his decision-making, way less risky. He's flat-out botched one or two at the most. His decision-making is way better. And the thing about it is that Mike Smith is going to come out of the net, no matter if you're nursing a one-goal lead with 40 seconds left, he's going to make the same play that he would make 2 minutes into the first period. He just does. He's shown that he will. And you know, he doesn't make any apologies for it. So all you can hope for is that he makes better decisions, less risky decisions. And this year he's been making way less risky decisions. You go back to that game he played against Chicago. I remember counting that night. I think that, you know, when he came out to touch the puck, I think like five of the first eight times he did it, the Blackhawks had it next. And that's all I care about in terms of a goalie playing the puck. I don't care how many times he does it. I don't care. I care who's got it next. What's that number? And last year, way worse than it is this year.
And you can see it. Like, as soon as he goes, his D-men are fanning right to the wall. Right? So the forecheck has to make a choice. Do I go at Smith or do I go at the D-men? So if they go at the D-men, he takes away the D-men, Smith passes to the winger. If the guy goes to Smith, he passes to the D-man. Like, they've got it so dialed in right now. So, yeah it's kind of neat to see. But, guys, that's something really to watch and monitor.
He makes saucer passes. He makes saucer passes.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he snaps.
I know, you're jealous.
Saucer passes.
With his glove turned over, right?
That's how he kind of has it. It's crazy, the skill level. He is so far and away better at it than anybody else. That when he is careful and cautious with it and smart with it and as efficient as he's been this year, I don't blame Dave Tippett for playing him as much as he's played him, because it's such a different dynamic. And Koskinen's not even in the same hemisphere. Like, you'll see Koskinen every once in a while. Like, early in a game, he'll come out and try and bat one down like Smith does, and then he just stops trying.
Yeah, no, it's, and hey, you got to, Mike Smith talked about it, though. He had Marty Turco teaching him and working on it as a young guy, and it really helped his game. And I think Koskinen has gotten better by seeing Smith and working with him and stuff. But, man, if I was like Stuart Skinner and all those other goalies, that's I might bring them all up when their season's over and just be like, hey, can we have a Mike Smith puck handling camp? Yeah. Because I think it's a massive, massive advantage.
Yeah. He told a great story about how he went out and botched one. And I think maybe they gave up a goal or something. And then the next time he had a chance, he stayed in his net and didn't go get it. So he went back to the bench for a commercial break. And Turco was like, well, what are you doing? He said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, why didn't you play that? Well, I'm being careful. No. Get your ass out there and play that thing. Basically gave him heck because after a bad experience, he was too cautious. And he said that resonated with him. It was a lesson learned. And now he has no issue coming out from his net to make a play.
No, and I love that. I think that's just a great – I mean, you're going to make mistakes, you know, at times when you're being that aggressive, but I can tell you as a D-man, you're so thankful that he does it. 9 times out of 10, even if he's right, it's well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it can hurt you too. That's the problem. It's a real risk-reward proposition, and the only one who can manage that risk-reward is Mike Smith. It's all in his hands. You know, it's his choice whether to go, whether or not go. And every time he leaves that net, there's a risk-reward. And his decision-making in the playoffs was not good. His decision-making this year has been great.
Yeah. Schauger, enjoy the game. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, good to talk to you guys. See ya.